This is SBS Spice.
In a world where people and ideas seem to be constantly conflicting, how does art have the power to change how we understand that conflict? Welcome back to SBS Spice. I'm Suhaila Sharif. Conflict is complex, layered, and a very human phenomena to experience. Core to processing conflict is how we wrestle with our own beliefs before projecting them onto the world around us. The creative minds behind Conflictorium present a dedicated space inviting visitors to slow down and immerse in the dissent that surrounds us. The award-winning interactive museum was established in India in 2013 and is currently being showcased at Carriage Works in Sydney for Sydney Festival 2026. Today, I am sitting down with YSK Prerna, the installation's artistic director, and Gargi Verma, its project associate, to better understand how physical space and senses can help us navigate conflict. Prerna and Gargi, thank you so much for joining me on SBS Spice. Prerna, I'd like to start with you. As the artistic director of Conflictorium, please tell us how the interactive museum was ideated and created.
That's a great question, Zahila, to start with. So the Conflictorium is a participatory, non-collecting museum that is based in two states in India. One is Gujarat, the other is Chhattisgarh. While we were founded in Gujarat in 2013, at that time, and it was very important for Conflictorium to hold space for the absence of conversations on violence and tensions that were witnessed and also participated in by many communities in Gujarat. What we are majorly referring to is also the communal riots, not just 2002, but of much earlier that Gujarat had seen. But also because Gujarat was known as the Gandhian state.
Yeah,
and had this farce of being non-violent. For our founder, Avni, and for the team at that time, it was urgent to bring that absence to the core and to make conversations on conflict almost inevitable. Because how do we move through the conflict? I think there's a South Asian sense, I would say, to not concern ourselves with conflict, to try and hide it, almost like the plastic bags that we hide in our cupboards in all our middle-class Indian homes. But that helps nobody and as a society. I've also grown from there to understand actually it's not just a South Asian problem, but a global problem where we do not want to discuss conflict. Mm. We want to avoid it while it emerges. We want to disbelieve in it. And that's the core ethos of Conflictorium when it was founded. Eventually, over the years, Conflictorium has also had its learnings. We've moved through many principles because of the team that it has seen. Every team that enters Conflictorium, every person that becomes part of that team, influences what is Conflictorium. So we're also very open. While we started as this museum that concerns itself with conflicts in Gujarat, we've become a place that also produces films, books, board games. We have reading rooms. We also do artist residencies, and we're trying to play with what is a museum. We're all so used to the colonial idea of museum, of walking in and seeing objects in glass cases, being told not to use flash photography, being told not to hold hands or case, especially in Indian museums, and to be disciplined bodies. Conflictorium is anything but that. Mm. We want people to be, what's the opposite of discipline? Indisciplined? But just playful and mischievous. And engage with works as tactile and sensorially. And so while people may be surprised by, oh, this is not necessarily a museum, we very much hold on to that and want to also provoke what a museum looks, feels, sounds, smells like.
Mm.
And we, I think about 3 years, also started in Chhattisgarh, which for us was an important moment because we moved from the Gujarat conflict and our learnings from it to try and foray into what it means to be in a state like Chhattisgarh, which has seen its historically seen conflict between indigenous communities, state, also Naxalism or a left-wing militancy, which initially started in good faith, but has become many other things, also because of the state and the government's role in it. So there's been historically a lot of violence in Chhattisgarh. Lots of bodies, people that have been caught in between this. And so we started in Chhattisgarh, and I know Gargi is the best person to give us more context on what it means to be a Conflictorium in Chhattisgarh. While we started, of course, the concerns were of faith, land, and indigeneity. We've also been, I think, part of that for 3 years now and learned and unlearned and moved in different directions.
The consideration for, you know, context and where these conflictorium is housed in, like, it is so amazing to listen to. So thank you for sharing that. Gargi, now to you. Conflictorium has been housed in Ahmedabad and Raipur in India. Gargi, having come on board as a project associate for its housing in Raipur in 2022, what engaged you in expanding this experience further in India and eventually internationally?
I want to start by saying thank you for having us here, Sohela. So Conflictorium personally for me was interesting because of the methodologies that we've also brought to Australia. The idea that we can work with conflict rather than being on one or the other side of it is something that is very interesting to me. And the way that we can play and be mischievous around conflict is something that has always attracted me and also helped me get a wider audience to Conflictorium. And I think that is something that we've also brought to Australia, in the sense that while the context that we operate out of, both in Ahmedabad and Raipur, are very local and grounded, I feel like the methodologies that we talk about, the playfulness of it, and the idea of having fun while also talking about serious issues is something that is globally needed, which is why it was very interesting for us to translate our methodologies and practices to for an international audience for the Sydney Festival. For the Sydney Festival, we were very clear that we didn't want to bring artifacts or objects that people could look at and just leave it at there. We wanted to bring more that people could engage with meaningfully and interact with, not just observe and walk on. So in that sense, you can imagine our exhibition at the Sydney Festival as an empty container. We brought an empty container from India, and we expect and are seeing it happen, the Australian audience to fill it with their understanding so that we might also learn from them and also understand the underlying politics, underlying undercurrents, for lack of a better word, amongst the society here that we are addressing, so that we understand better how to, because we have a very specific lens of looking at conflict from our own individual contexts. I feel that the larger our overview, the better understanding we develop eventually as a collective. And that is what I think we've managed to bring internationally.
I love the analogy to a container because it reminds me of like a spice dabba.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like Australia now has its own spice dabba that you're going to take back with you. My next question is, why Sydney?
I mean, there's an obvious answer and then there's a more poetic answer.
Let's start with the poetic answer, I think. And then we can move to the obvious answer.
I love it, yes.
So the poetic answer is that we have a very common history with Sydney. Both Australia and India were colonized by the same group of people. We've had trade relationships for a long time now. And also a lot of migrant relationships from India. Since before independence of India, since the time of colonizers, people have moved to Australia by choice or by force and then have made Australia their home. And so it made sense to us to talk about Indian context in Australia because we know that there is Indian diaspora here. The other idea for Sydney was also because it is something that none of us had any experience with within the team. And we wanted to gain the experience and knowledge that Australia and Sydney could offer to us. And of course, the more obvious answer is that we were invited. And so
love it.
We took the opportunity and ran with it.
VIPs to Sydney. But how good is it that you have opportunities like Sydney Festival that come up for visibility? And then when you're already aligned with the idea of expanding it to a place that already feels familiar, even though you've never been there, you have a shared history.
Yeah.
I think it's like a perfect opportunity. Why not?
It is.
You're with SBS Spice.
Now, thinking about Conflictorium in its physical space, it is housed at Carriage Works in Sydney, which is quite expensive, quite large, and it goes across different rooms. So talk to me about the physical consideration you had when you were bringing and translating Conflictorium to Australia.
Well, I want to start by thanking the Sydney Festival for giving us this opportunity and also for bringing us to the venue. Because like you said, Carriage Works is very expansive and also has a very rich history. It used to be a loading dock and thus has a lot of connections to both where we come from in its geography because of the trains and the stations in India. And also because of how it feels very organic, almost. We are housed in Bay 19, which is one of the rooms on the ground floor of the Carriage Works. And that room also felt like the perfect ambience for us to bring that empty container, empty spice dabba, if you will, to. And I want to take the spice dabba analogy a little further because we wanted the spice dabba to have multiple containers like it does in India, right? It's like one circular box with several containers. And we wanted to do that several containers thingy. And I think Bay 19 is perfect for that because it gives us enough space while also making it feel cozy, feel like you're ensconced in something. And yeah, I feel Carriage Works is a brilliant opportunity for us to sort of take the spice dabba and open it up so that this waft of spices can just travel further.
I think also just to mention that the center of the spice dabba in Carriage Works is also Auntie Brownwin, who is formerly known as Brownwin Penrith. And because Carriage Works is also based in Redfern, and there is a historicity of First Nations, it being First Nations land, was very central when we learned that Conflictorium would be in Carriage Works, is very central for us to acknowledge. And I think honor and move through with that respect. And so when Auntie Brownwin agreed to be, in some sense, really the center of this container and of this spice dabba by being a part of the conflict timeline that the people would see when you just enter Carriage Works and are about to enter Bay 19, one of the first installations that you would be greeted by is really, really premised on Auntie Brownwin's history of being in Redfern and of the protest that Redfern has witnessed over the last couple of decades and centuries, and which is also so key to us being in Carriage Works, because without that, I think Conflictorium's politics that we have so much tried to keep at play, even in Sydney, which is such a new context for us, and even in Redfern, would not be possible without Auntie Brownwin, without the kind of programming that also Thinesh has brought in, who is the coordinator for local programming, ensuring that we are not simply showing in a space that is expansive and that is beautiful, but there's also meaning politically, materially to where we are and to the communities that inhabit that neighborhood originally. And that's been interesting, I think, for us.
Yeah.
And I would say, though, because Redfern has seen immense gentrification, that our audiences have been very diverse. But it's interesting to see that largely we start with lots of middle-class white families, and we do want to also speak to them and see, hey, across races, across ways of living, how do we speak of conflict? Because sometimes these conflicts are between us as races and us as classes and access to land.
Yeah, and it's also important, I feel, just taking what Prerna said further, to see Auntie Brownwin's personal and communal history being shared by the people who now occupy Redfern, who might not really, who might know broadly about Auntie Brownwin, but might not really know about these nitty-gritties that Auntie Brownwin has so graciously shared with us. So that is the center of the spice dabba, I feel, that the history of not just the space, but also those who occupied the space before it became what it is today, is very central to our exhibition, our entire ethos primarily, because we do want to talk about histories not just from the lens of what is taught to us formally, but also what we personally and collectively experience. And that might never become a part of the formal history, but is the center stone or the backbone of all of our personal and political thoughts and conversations.
Well, I guess engaging with the conversations around conflict, you would need to invite people from all walks of life to do that. So it's wonderful to learn that there are different demographics who are visiting Conflictorium. Going back into something that you mentioned at the very start, which I loved you talking about, which was the idea that museums are plastered with do not touch signs, which I actually don't like at all, because I'm like, it looks so beautiful. I want to like understand how the paint and like plaster and that will all different mediums come together. So I want to know what prompted the artistic team behind Conflictorium to instead allow viewers to immerse themselves.
Oh, yeah, that's such a core question for us. I think at the Conflictorium, what we are very, very sure about is that museums are almost like parliaments. They're built by people and they have to be for people. And in that sense, we don't want the distance between the curator and the programmer and the audience. We don't want the distance between the object and the participant. Rather, how do we gather? And as Gargi, you said about community, which is so key to us. Community not as neighborhood, but community as people in that room from various walks of life that are inhabiting that particular time and space together, like us right now. How do we engage collectively? For that, we cannot just be at a one-hand distance from an object and try to build a conversation. That's never possible. Even as people, yeah. Hugs are important.
Right.
Holding hands is important.
Eye contact
is super important. So how do we build an earnest relationship between people, between material, between space, if we are unable to make things tactile and sensorial? And that's really key to how we operate. That relationships have to be built on the principles of it being truthful and earnest. And that is only possible when things are tactile and sensorial and not esoteric or academic or always perfectly articulate. We are not chasing articulation. We are chasing affect and emotions.
And like structured, or like you're told how to experience it.
Yeah.
Like, especially with paintings, like my co-host Dilbri has talked about this before and I completely agree with her. Like, artist abstracts and the way that they write them, I refuse to read them. Just because I feel like you get too taken away about like the person, the painter, the creator's own experience. But I feel like their intention should have always been that you experience it for yourself. And so, yeah, like making it tactile, making it like olfactory and making it auditory, all these like really little things change the way that you experience and understand something. Wrapping up this conversation, I have a really interesting question that I'd love to get your thoughts on. Looking at the reflective space from a contemporary lens, I would love to explore your thoughts on conflict and how it intertwines with division. In a world that grapples with conflict in many forms, from cancel culture to heightened political tensions, is there a space where conflict can actually engage with progress?
Personally, Suhela, I think it's a very interesting question. Thank you for asking that. Personally, I think there is no progress possible without conflict. Conflict is like the friction force that is needed for movement to happen. And how we deal with conflict and not the absence of conflict shows the social health of any community. I feel like conflict is inevitable. It's everywhere. And it's sad that we today look at conflict only in the extremes. Whereas conflict doesn't start there. Conflict starts very subtly in emotions, in very subtle signs of expressions. So then denying that or sort of ignoring that until it becomes a full-fledged fight is not helping anybody. Through conflict, we can figure out the way forward, is my personal belief. And that can't be done if you take yourself too seriously. We need to have play, mischief, and fun to be able to move beyond conflict on the road to progress.
Beautifully put. Mm. Prerna, anything you'd like to add?
I think I'm also trying to take a moment and think about how, while we're recording this, we're also in times of immense grief and conflict that we're all witnessing globally. We're seeing systems of imperialism crack a certain humanness amongst all of us. We're seeing, really, societies collapse. There's so much trauma and violence from Sudan to Palestine, but also in some of the smaller countries, all somehow connected to a certain greed for resources from the imperial world. And that I'm just acknowledging also, so that while conflict, or how do we hold on to conflict as both personal, that greed is here inside so many individuals, but also greed has become systems and organizations and societies. So how do we hold on to both the individual and the systemic when thinking through conflict? How do we look at shame that is both individual and systemic? And these are all very core to conflict. For me, it's important that while we speak of conflict and we see that it is inevitable, we also find ways, and as you're saying, Gargi, through mischief, through play, through fun, without forgetting that unfortunately we're all parts of a system where many of us are witnessing, are bystanders, are also propagating this violence and this conflict onto other bodies who don't necessarily have access to safety and justice. And I think that is a core concern, and for me also something that I try to understand is what is it in so many of us that makes it okay for us to be part of systems of violence, where we either promote violence, where we are okay with violence when we witness it, from the street to the home to nations, what we see on our reels, what we see on Facebook. And I'm very, very interested, and I think Conflictorium in some sense has also been interested in that, of why do people produce violence? Why do people produce tensions? And then how do we work with that? Not necessarily just people who are affected by violence, but those who are okay with it happening.
Well, listening to you both speak, it reminds me of the idea that change starts from within and it can start with one person. And I think it always starts from understanding who you are and what your place is. So that's Conflictorium in a nutshell. For our listeners, Conflictorium will be at Carriage Works till the 25th of Jan. So check it out if you're in Redfern. My final question for you both, if you were a spice, what spice would you be?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
There's so many. Like all of them are going. The dupper is like toppled over. You're thinking, what am I?
Yeah.
I think I have an answer for you. So we can do that.
Yes. Yeah.
I really think. I think you would be Kasuri Methi, which is that dried methi.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's such an underrated but so important element to a spice dabba that when you just add it to hot food, when you've turned off the stove and add the last bit of kasuri methi, it changes things. Until then, it's one dish. But you add the kasuri methi and it's like, whoa, this is restaurant level food.
Completely different. Oh, I love that. We've never had anyone say kasuri methi before. So that's a one-off.
So I would see you as kasuri methi, Gargi.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you so much. I would think you are cinnamon.
Oh.
Because you are spicy with the undertone of sweet.
Ooh.
And it is just, I feel cinnamon, I really like cinnamon as well.
Me too.
It changes it can be used on something sweet. It can be used on something spicy. It goes with a lot of different things. And it is a very important ingredient in Indian cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the flavor profile of everything that it's put into.
Very,
very much like you.
I would love to be cinnamon. Thank you.
Fantastic answers. Gargi, Prerna, thank you so much for joining me on SBS Spice.
Thanks a lot, Suhela. This has been really important and fun.
For more hot takes from South Asians in Australia, find and follow SBS Spice on Instagram at SBS Spice or on YouTube by searching for SBS South Asian. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button.